Yep.
I'd like to call this a special, all right, it's now a special meeting, public workshop, for Wednesday, July the 18th, to order. And, so anyway, if we can have it so we can listen up here, so we're going to talk about the discussion review of the proposed budget process and schedule.
The purpose of today's workshop is to review the schedule process, make sure that we are having ample time for commission and public input into our budgeting process. And with that, I'm going to turn the table over to Ms. Berg.
Sure. So what you have before you is a draft. It really is mirroring last year's. There isn't much difference from the prior year, except of course the dates. Tried to align them with the already established commissioner dates and workshops, including meetings that we'll have with staff, managers, and directors on departmental budgets. And then the public hearings that'll come later after the first draft. And then finalization in November.
And then finally, what, November?
Finalization,
okay.
Final adoption. Let's see, so the first workshop session that includes just discussion of the goals and assumptions and review of June year-to-date will be August 22nd. Although you will get June year-to-date next week. But we'll look at it in light of projecting into 2019 in that workshop in August. And we're going to include the managers in that workshop. And then we'll have our usual follow-up.
So that's the 22nd is at 3 o'clock. That's a workshop.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And the managers are going to be there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because at that point, we'll have already had discussions with them and discussed some of the issues or ideas they have for next year. And then September 12th, we've got the follow-up on that, including having the county assessor tell us where we'll need to budget, how much we'll need to budget for the property tax levy.
Okay, so when I'm looking on this thing, is these group work sessions, which are not in bold, that doesn't include a meeting with the commission. That's
right.
Just,
okay. Right, that's internal.
That's staff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to get, at some point, an opportunity to talk about changes to the budgeting process? My concern is, I think we've had, and it may be just outliers, but we've had a couple of years where we've done these kind of mid-year course corrections.
That was 1 year. Okay. That was last year, and that was because of the travel left primarily.
Okay, and we did one this year. We
no,
did capital. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. We did a capital adjustment, and that's because of the jetty, primarily.
And some additional couple other projects,
yeah.
That
we'll always do a mid-year review, just to kind of give you an update of this is where we are year-to-date on this.
Yeah, I guess, if we can draw some trend lines and say we have these things that come up every year that we don't really expect, and if they trend along the same lines, then we should put some contingency in for that in the budget so we're not in the middle of the budget year, changing the budget.
And Commissioner, if I may, I think that one of the things that we might do, we might consider, and we'll look at staff will be looking at this for a budgeting process, is if we can increase the amount under maintenance and repair,
mm-hmm.
and say there's a number of things that would be within staff's existing authority to exercise within the operating budget, so that we are not having to come back for authorization to the commission for that, because we've kept that level of materials and supplies under maintenance and repair at the historic levels, and if we bump that up, I think it will take care of some of those issues. The question is, can we afford to do that? And that's what we need to be able to, you know, work it through and give you a presentation.
I guess that confuses me a little bit. If we can't afford it, if we can't afford to consider it in November, how can we afford to do it in July?
Indeed, and I think that we are at a different position now because of the number of issues that we've had to address in the past couple of years. So, it is, we certainly want to, it is, continues to be our goal to make our projection of capital repair projects as well as our capital projects more methodical so that we can have adopt a budget for a capital budget, but then also a five-year projection. The organization has never had that to date, so we're still developing that. I think our goals are the same, is that we want to be able to look out over a five-year horizon and be able to see what's coming. Because we have lacked a robust inventory of our assets and really to be able to anticipate what is coming, that's been difficult. We have these issues rise up and go, now this is really, we can't wait any longer on this. Understand that that is not how we wish to operate. So again, two options. One, increase the maintenance and repair, and to continue to really develop our capital.
And I don't have any argument with having a long-term plan. My concern is that a long-term plan, notwithstanding, things happen.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And that if you can say, mm-hmm. this sort of thing happens at this sort of scale over time, at least you have a certainty that sort of thing is going to continue to
mm-hmm.
happen,
mm-hmm.
and that should be planned in,
mm-hmm.
because we're stuck with it whether we plan for it or not.
Exactly.
And I think we do that to a certain degree. I mean, I know the capital and the maintenance, repair,
mm-hmm.
replacement, that's kind of a new thing for us to have, looking mm-hmm. forward. But these 2 years with the travel lift, and then this year with the jetty, these are really outliers. I mean, travel lift, that was 37 years ago that we had, an incident like that. So it's really an outlier. I hear your concern, and I hear your perspective, because, you're pretty fresh to this position and saying, well, the last 2 years we've got this stuff. So I understand your concern, and I know we do that with some of our other items. For instance, there's periodic cleanouts of the vaults in the yard, and it doesn't happen the same every year. There's things like that we look at, and we look at the cycles that they go through.
And I'm concerned too with our cash reserve
mm-hmm.
being as thin as it is,
mm-hmm.
that and that's where these things end up coming out of, is a cash reserve.
Yeah.
There's just not that much cash reserve left to,
right.
We had $750,000 worth of stuff that came out of
mm-hmm.
in mid-year. That would zero out our cash reserve,
mm-hmm.
and then
mm-hmm.
some.
Mm-hmm.
If we had that again next year,
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, I'm just expressing a concern.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments or concerns?
Well, kind of along what he's discussing is we were trying to get a good handle on what our actual needs were. We're getting that engineering study worked up and seeing what our needs are now and what you're be put off a little bit and so on. So we should be a year closer to that now, right? So
mm-hmm.
in other words, when we get down to the August 22nd, when the yard managers and business and all those, they're going to have a better idea than last year of what kind of spending we need to put into these things to keep it going. In other words, it seems like we should be getting a lot closer to having more detailed numbers
mm-hmm.
now. Okay. Is that accurate?
as far as the maintenance, repair, replacement,
yep,
I think so.
I believe so, though. I do want to make sure that our expectations are clear. And so what we have done is really go through and systematically look at our assets. We built on the capital repair and replacement plan that was completed, and really continue to work with our maintenance staff, and I like to call it the Larry Ozzy brain transplant project, to really where are all the issues and things, and truly his on-the-ground knowledge of that is not to be underestimated. Make sure that we know where there are just some real issues. But then there are things that come up like leaks and roofs that start to fail, or a septic system encroaching that suddenly is not up to snuff and isn't working. I will tell you that we have been doing this with our existing staff and some small amount of outside consultant work, and I will use Canvas Walshugel as a benchmark, and they went through, they really developed a robust capital asset management plan. They took 9 months with an outside firm to inventory everything and to really have an assessment of all of their assets. I don't know the amount of money that they expended on that, but they are now in the position where they can really start that robust programming. We've been trying to accomplish something similar with our in-house staff because we did not feel it was prudent to expend money at this time on that type of expertise from the outside. So we are making progress. We have a lot better understanding of where the kind of the most urgent needs are. However, it is still not to the standard of kind of the modern standards of the capital asset management program. We've not gotten there yet. I think we would have to put some resources to that to really get to that level. But I think that we have a much more systematic understanding of things that might break and what we will have to address first. But there are things like, well, the roof on the Coast building really is not going to last another year. We really have to do that now, even though that's been on our list for some time. So we have, we could, another example is any roof down at Fort Hudson, there's a number of them that may be subject to failure. We are obligated under the terms of our leases to make those kind of repairs. And there's just so many of them that it's hard to say, we need, if we had the resources, we could just say we are gonna do a programmatic replacement of roofs at Port Hudson. And that would be money well spent for us, but it's unfortunately likely not money that we have right now.
I guess, I appreciate the effort to save money. My concern is that we have so many things that staff's working on, and this need to budget accurately is so important to us that if you could scope that task out, maybe using the Canvas Washable as a starting point model, and shop it around to find out what it would actually cost us to get somebody. Because I really get that we're not cash rich right now, but there are things that we should be doing on a day-to-day basis that are getting pushed aside or deferred because we're working on this plan. I think the plan is critical, but I think the day-to-day things that your staff should be doing is critical too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see us explore those possibilities. I don't want to spend a lot more money, but if it's spend some money or wander around in the darkness,
mm-hmm.
I think we're somewhere in between those two poles. I really do. And I think we share the desire to have a much clearer picture and an assessment of risk. And it we have certainly done a lot of that assessment to this point. So we're not quite wandering around in the dark, but it's just that we have so many issues that we're parts of our assets are really coming to their end of their service life. And that is, you know, they're kind of, a lot of the chickens are coming home to roost at the same time.
And nobody likes bad news, but it's news.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I guess what I was really trying to look at was that if we'd had this initial consultation with Harold, he went through and looked at a lot of things a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone forward based on that, but as Harold hasn't done anymore. He's not still doing this.
No, he's not. And what Mr. Anderson also used was a cost estimating program, so he could actually, you know, put some dollars to those that were based upon some industry standards. And they're certainly they don't approach the accuracy of an engineer's cost estimate, but they give us, like, you know, roofing cost this amount of per square foot. And so they give us a planning level estimate of those. And so we have continued to do similar with some of the projects that weren't identified in that report. And in that capital repair and replacement plan that was originally conducted, I believe, as if Mr. Caves were here, he would characterize it as the somewhat of the duct tape and bailing wire approach of, like, really what are the absolute most crucial things to do. And we've looked beyond that scope and have identified, I think particularly with my experience, being able to look at some of our other assets and be able to see some needs that are coming up, such as the Washington Street, that, you know, there's been use of Washington Street between the old pier location and the new pier location for the 75 and 70 ton, and when those were changed, that it was not ballasted, and so we've really worn the asphalt there. And we'll start
where the traveler comes and makes a jog to get up.
Exactly. And so we're starting to see signs of failure there. I would not hazard to guess of you know, how much life we have in there. I just know from my experience that we've been operating in a place that was not properly ballasted.
I think, you know, if we took the whole litany of things that was found in that study and whatever has been found subsequent to that, and programmed it out and said, you know, we're going to do this many things, the this many things that are going to be done in 2019 should be reflected in the 2019 budget with some good estimates.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
in year 2, 3, 4,
right.
5, those things can come so that they're estimates come in those time periods.
Absolutely, and just the model that I'm very accustomed in working on is that, you know, by the time that you actually have something in your capital budget that you're adopting for expenditure, those estimates should be fairly solid. Unfortunately, we have not had the capital program where you've been expending the engineering dollars to get those cost estimates to that level of accuracy that I would hope for. But then as you move out in time, the cost estimates become less and less accurate just because you've not put the same level of effort into them. So we have seen quite a margin of fluctuation on our cost estimates as we brought projects in, because they've not really been in the pipeline where first we get a planning level estimate, then we get a conceptual design estimate, then we get a 60% design, and we're narrowing down on that number over a number of years. And that, I think, is a very common process for a public agency to do, and we've not had experience to build on. You know, we just not have that same level of programming and planning. So we're trying to introduce. And yeah, so by the time time it gets on your budget, it should be fairly accurate. And of course, things happen, and you know, the project cost estimates have not been to that degree of accuracy that I hoped for.
I'd like to shift this a little bit to revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'd like to see happen in this process this year is more transparency on what your strategies are for revenue. There is no marketing plan per se, and there's no strategic plan per se when it comes to revenue. I think we need to take a good look at what is our total capacity in the shipyard, the workyard, the floats, guest moorage. We're having a good year with guest moorage. That's great. We're running a little bit more efficient out there.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, the boatyard and the workyard are still lagging.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're having a good, in the shipyard, you're having a good
mm-hmm.
bump, or you've had a good bump. It's kind of over. So again, what I would really like to see is for you, Abigail, to come to us and say, if we were running at 95% capacity, these are the revenue dollars we would expect to see. And I think we're going to be running at this capacity, and this is why.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a real strategic move
mm-hmm.
in terms of us understanding what it is you guys are assuming in
mm-hmm.
terms of these budgets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to simply say, well, we're going to bump it 5% because that's our average, I think is poor business. You know, if we're going to maximize our revenue centers, let's talk about how we're going to do that and do it. And that means more than just having Terry and Greg get on the phone and make a few phone calls. Because I think we're leaving a lot of revenue on the table. so again, as you come to us with these workshop sessions and you give us a budget, that's the kind of dialogue I'm going to expect to see in those budgets and why. So, and also, you know, I think we need to have a good discussion about cost cutting. You know, how are we going to cut costs?
Mm-hmm.
And are we going to eliminate a job position? Are we going to change benefits? What are we going to do from maybe an admin side or something else in order to find ways that we can tighten ourselves up a little bit?
The other thing that I think that would be helpful for me is to see, in addition to the numbers, to see some dialogue about text about, you know, what this number is, why it is what it is, where we expected it to be, why it's not there, why it's exceeding its, you know, what part of its expectation. So instead of having just a kind of a budget sheet, that we have a, you know, package that we can read through and try and understand it by bit before we kind of get here and start going through numbers.
So beyond assumptions, is that what you mean? Because usually, you know, with the numbers, I include assumptions which show, you know, some of the changes or the differences from prior years and why some of the numbers are up or some numbers are down, stuff like that. Is that?
Yeah.
Like this year, we want a narrative.
Yeah. For the final budget, or are you talking about just for?
Well, no,
we want to have a final budget package that has pies and graphs and
mm-hmm.
a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's definitely.
Well, I think the narrative for me would be helpful in trying to figure out in the draft things. You know, we're guessing this is going to be here because of some reason, and then look at that and see if that's a valid reason.
Absolutely.
Or if there's. And so I'm thinking
mm-hmm.
that earlier on is the time to actually get those narratives.
Mm-hmm.
Out so that we can understand it more.
Yeah, and I think we can do that. And I would definitely like, you know, this current staff does not budget projections based upon a simple multiplier over last year. We actually have a very detailed process where we think we can move different line items. Commissioner Hutton, you were not part of this process last year. We briefed each individual commissioner. We'd like to schedule that time as well to go through that with you in detail. It is a lot of spreadsheets. It's a lot of, but we kind of walk you through the logic of what our plan is going to be, including including what the direct marketing efforts are and other things. We track then our assumptions. You know, we've learned some things from this year already. And so absolutely we can repeat that as well. I think, again, what I'm clearly hearing from all of you is, you know, beyond those kind of numeric modelings that we're giving you some narrative of, like, this is the way that we're looking at the shipyard, how we intend to market to, you know, whatever classes of vessels. And I
think that the idea of going, you know, one-on-one with us and going through the numbers is great, but I think the narrative, having the narrative, you know, because inevitably I'm going to go back and
yep.
look at the numbers again and trying to remember from my scratching in my,
right.
my
mm-hmm.
notebook, you know,
yep.
what Sam told about that
mm-hmm.
number is, you know, it's just not going to
absolutely
get like that. So narrative, having narrative.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think another thing would be too is if we have an assumption, what that's a number is based upon, we say what that is,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe someone in the general public can say, oh, you assume that glass is going to sink into the ocean, but they're really not. And in other words, we could actually get some more, instead of just like, and when we know this is like 3%, you know, we'll be able to determine which ones are really have a reason behind them,
mm-hmm.
and then other people can weigh in on if that reason has things that can make it either higher or more. So.
Yeah, and I think we have learned, and Commissioner Hank, your observation is correct. We've seen a lot of growth in the shipyard and our moorage and RVs, and significantly, and that's really has held that number of a 12% increase in revenue. We're not seeing that in the small yard. And so, you know, what then is our next step to really try to see that growth? We've had some other things that we've been working with task group on developing the longer term storage rate. We're going to be marketing that aggressively, hoping to partner with the marine trades as they suggested that they would be willing to do to help market that rate. And so there are other things that we have learned from this year, but things that we have made progress on, you know, where we're still not seeing the results that we'd like to, and have that continuous feedback loop of what's working, what's not working.
Okay.
Carol would like to say something, I think.
Thank you. Thank you. So regarding the budget, I, first of all, want to make sure that when we put in our revenues that there aren't any assumptions about where we might be headed as a port. So I want to say thank you to the commissioners for coming to the economic impact study and to Pete for the words that you said there. What was not included in that study.
Can you speak up a little bit? We got a fan right up here. Or
sure.
You can come closer.
Sure. What wasn't included in the study, for all manner of reasons, was the impact, the financial impact of the Wooden Boat Festival and the tourism that both the festival and our authentic Point Hudson Harbor bring to town. And I think it's really important for us to remember that Point Hudson is not only the home of the festival, but it's the home of educating our youth and bringing in the mariners and marine tradespeople of the future, and that we have historic buildings there that need to be protected and preserved. And it's critical to me and to probably most of the people who were gathered, the 300 or so people that were gathered, that Point Hudson not be condominiumized, not look like Gig Harbor, Eagle Harbor, or Roach Harbor. And the only reason I bring this up again is that the rumors, and I hope they're rumors, are going around that there is a consideration of putting in a condominium at Point Hudson. And I do hope it's a rumor. But I heard another rumor from a very credible source, another port commissioner in Friday Harbor, who said that the word on the street right there is in Friday Harbor is that the port is waiting for the old hippies to die so they can do what they want.
It's going to take a while.
Well, with any luck.
Speaking for the old hippies.
Being an old hippie.
So I'm just saying there's that concern that there's some sort of idea in the background that that's where money's going to come from. And I think the outcry, you guys know what it would be, but because you were at the meeting, the economic impact study, and I think it would be even greater if Point Hudson were put on the chopping block. So I just want to speak for Point Hudson again. And I also want to urge the commissioners to reopen negotiations with the Northwest Marine Maritime Center, because their commitment to preserve and protect Point Hudson's historic buildings, to keep it as a campus for education, and the $3.5 million that would come to the port. We're not selling Point Hudson, we would be leasing it. And right now, Point Hudson is underutilized in its buildings. People, local marine tradespeople, Leah Kefchin from Best Coast Canvas, Amy Liebman from Marine Surveys, have asked for space there and are not getting answers.
I'm sorry, I still can't hear you.
Oh. I said that local marine tradespeople, Leah Kefchin from Best Coast Canvas and Amy Liebman from Marine Surveys, have asked for additional space at Point Hudson for weeks and no one's gotten back to them. So I just wanted that to be.
So what was that first thing you said that pertained to the budget? Like something about assumptions?
About revenues, yeah.
About revenues.
Yeah, what did you mean?
What did you, I didn't understand what you meant.
I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to see an idea that the revenues that are going to come to the port are from developing our waterfront in a way that includes condominiums and hotels.
I may be in the dark, but I haven't heard anything that would give credence to any of those rumors.
Yeah, and I can tell you from this commissioner's standpoint, I like Point Hudson just the way it is. Putting a condominium there would be the last thing I ever consider.
And while you're in the mood, would you take your concerns to the city council? Because I think that if you look at the people that were assembled for the meeting on the 12th, with the exception of Deb Stinson and Michelle Sandoval, there was three other city councilmen that weren't there. I think they really need to hear what the study says and what people's concerns are.
Exactly.
I'm with them. Rumors is the key word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not heard anything about that. Thank you.
Rumors are good. Rumors are fine.
Okay, so where are we on our, are we, this seems like
the agenda's only got one line on
it. Yeah, so I think it done. Is there any more to add to this?
Nope, I'm good.
I guess one concern I had was that Harold's work hasn't really been added upon, so we're still working with what Harold did. And I guess I'm not sure how to address Bill's concern that, you know, since we haven't really got the level of scrutiny that they did, where it was Camus Washubo who said, we're going to have to be really careful. I'm not sure how we can get
from here to there
more scrutiny in here between now and when we're going to be talking to his manager.
And I just wanted to say, too, about that like Commissioner, Director Commissioner Gimini said, it is being worked on, and that is absolutely one of the, and it hasn't been something we had in the past. So, like you also said, it's kind of all in Larry's head as to what needs to happen next. And been working with him on that. I know Harold worked with him somewhat on that. And we absolutely have that as a priority requirement for a replacement for Larry, that they understand the capital asset and repair maintenance programs and know how to manage them and, you know, work with them on a computer. So, I mean, I know that that's a high priority for that position.
Sam, you know, off that laundry list, what things you're going to want to attempt to 2019.
I think we need some type of repair or upgrading of the coal seam septic system.
Yeah, I don't necessarily need you to enumerate now. Mm-hmm. I would
Oh, yeah.
That by the time we're doing very deeply into this, that at least those ones you've got some more specificity on.
Yes. And again, I would like to, you know, it, we have made quite a bit of progress on really going, okay, what, let's just take quilting, for example. We know the docks and floats need help down there. We know that we'd like to upgrade the ramp that has issues. We've already done some extensive repairs to the fueling system, but there's more we can do. We know that we have issues with the septic system, and we know we have issues with the water supply system, and we know that there needs to be an understanding of cost allocations between the port and our major tenant. And so, you know, we're working through that. We're mapping the whole water system. We've done some, you know, some dye test, and, you know, found some other uses of water that we did not have documented. And then we have come up that we need to spend, you know, $21,000 to fix the fuel system down here. So that's part of, like, we're working on quilting, and then, oh, this thing broke up here. So we've made a lot more progress than I think is apparent, because they're kind of, you know, at the staff level at this point.
Are you guys keeping an eye on the dredging situation in quilting?
Yes and no. We've not done any type of trying to map the channel or, you know, bathymetrics there. Yet we're probably getting fairly close to that. I think also, you know, we do have the curb funding for quilting that we'll be getting started on this fall. And I think one of the things that we really need to consider is potentially a reconfiguration of that marina in a way that it's not so susceptible to catching that longshore drift. The curb study is not going to be a full geomorphology assessment. It's not. But the consultant that we chose does have that in-house expertise, and I think they can do some, you know, you might think about redesigning it this way. We'll also be working with Paul Sorensen is on that team that can really say, here are the trends that I see in the type of recreational ownership that you can take advantage of to attract into quilting. So I think we can marry together both a robust business plan for the whole of our quilting assets along with the repair and capital replacements issues. So that's what we're trying to do, is to marry these two things up. And so yes, we are looking at it. We don't have too detailed. We're hoping to get some level of greater detail with the program.
Right.
But I don't want you to overpromise that somehow you're going to get a full
it occurred to me because NOAA people that brought one of their vessels to the pilot's celebration, and I were talking, and they were saying that they'd love to use the Quilting marina more, but it is the hard getting them out with some tide levels.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the previous assessment is that it should probably be dredged every, you know, 6 or 7 years, and we're coming up on that, and you can certainly see the shoaling that's happening.
We're kind of getting far afield.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that if there's anything else, we've got our draft ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
So the next meeting we're going to have will be at 2:30 right here, a special meeting. So this meeting's adjourned.
Sorry, can I make a comment before it's adjourned?
You didn't hang your hand up while we were still in session.
Can you unadjourn?
Okay, we're unadjourned.
Okay, thank you. We've learned a bunch about PYR finances this week. We got that alarming letter dated June 20th from the Department of Ecology. And I wanted to address these comments to you, Steve. The community asked for 7 months for the port to do a rent survey, as required by port policy. Staff vigorously resisted, telling lies to the public and the commission. Finally, the commission, which you are chair of, voted to direct staff to do the rent survey. Staff sabotaged the survey in numerous, significant, well-documented ways. Your response to these allegations was, I always wanted to do the Western Washington study.
I'm really feeling like we're striding, and this is feeling very much like a personal attack as opposed to addressing the issues.
Yeah, actually, you know, I got your email, and as soon as this meeting is over, I'm going to grab you and see if we can talk about it.
Okay,
can we do that?
Yep.
Okay. Next.
I have a different topic. I just want to go back and ask.
Okay, we got a fan right here. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to ask a question about the inventory of assets and that. And I'd like to respectfully propose that I think that you probably have the best understanding of the assets that you own because you're the owners. And I understand the need to go to a third party maybe to get some assistance. But considering budget constraints, I'd like to just let you know that I think it might be better to own the, even though it's a gruesome process of inventorying assets and understanding schedules and making sure that whatever's put in new also has a schedule, I think it'll make you more resilient in the future. And speaking of resiliency, when we look at projected income for the port in 2019, you know, there's a lot going on as well. So I think that having a range in terms of forecasting sort of a pessimistic, a middle of the road, and a more optimistic view, it'll make your budget also more resilient. And it may be something that you will be able to follow into the future. So just those two things.
And can you state your name so that we can have it on the
record? Oh, I apologize. I'm Lynn Terwoods. I live in Cape George.
Thank you.
T-E-R-W-O-E-R, D like David, S like.
Thank you.
Gwendolyn?
My observation here is that all of these budget
can you speak up? Like I said, you got to stand here.
All of these budget procedural meetings are held here, and historically there has been some kind of budget hearing process in both District 2 and District 3 as well, and there aren't any. It says all workshops and meeting will be held in the commission room at 333 Benedict Street. Out of all due respect for the county, please consider.
Good point.
Okay.
Any other concerns about our budget, budget draft process? Yes.
Just a comment to Gwendolyn's comment. I just wanted to say my understanding of when we had that budget meeting down in Quilcene last year, they were very confused as to why we were there. And they were like, they thought we were coming down to address Quilcene issues. Even though it was publicized and it was, you know, documented that that's what we were there for.
Yeah,
it was kind of confusing to them that we were there. So, mm-hmm. I mean, just as a comment.
Honestly, I think it was confusing to them because there were no budget numbers for anything in Quilcene. There was no reference to any of the facilities or income or expense. There were no budget numbers for Quilcene, and there was nothing online. There was no detail available.
Well, Quilcene's part, so it was in there. But okay, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't broken out and it wasn't available to them.
Yeah, well, we'll work on that. See if we can at least heard your comment. See if we need to see if it would make sense to have one there or not.
Yeah,
like maybe picked
up. Bertram, that we didn't have an impact.
I'm sorry, what?
I just remember the concern that Bertram expressed that he couldn't make it to all the budget meetings.
Okay. Okay, so this meeting now, I'm going to return this workshop, and the next meeting will be at 2:30 right here.